Hey there, this is Jimmy Russells with the SVC Gaming Podcast. I'm joined by several of our co-hosts, Thor.
Hey guys.
Stubborn.
Hello.
Retro.
Hello, dear listener.
And special guest, Yav.
Hey guys, hey. This is Yav, also known as Hav.
Or Java.
Or Java.
Hi, Hav.
I program in Java, of course.
There you go.
Gotta Java it.
Hey!
Let's keep it going.
Okay.
Javi.
That's me.
Jeff.
Jave.
Okay. Yeah.
I ruined the joke. I'm sorry. Anyways, we got some fun stuff to talk about today, including something very special. But let's get started on there. Some of the new news that we have here is a X86.
I heard that Freudian slip.
An X86, though, based single board computer under $100, the RockPi X. There should be a little bit more fanfare here, guys.
Well, I mean, for a single board under $100 running X86, the specs are actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
You're looking at something that's, you know, they're saying can run Windows and Linux out of the box, which is, that's pretty tight. And the little Atom processor that they put on there has a pretty solid architecture, especially at that price point. Looking pretty good. Yeah,
you're talking about RK3399, which is for under $100. That's pretty awesome.
Well, I'd be interested, though, in knowing if this could probably go in transcode video with Plex.
Well, it's saying it can do 4K30, so most things that can output a 4K30 can most likely transcode.
Well, the transcode uses the hardware, you know, uses the processor. So, I mean, I'm wondering if it'd go and kill the processor while transcoding on the fly.
I guess that's a wait and see.
Well, it's built similar to the form and shape of a Raspberry Pi 3B. Except with a USB Type-C for power supply instead of micro USB.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to tell us a little bit more about it, Thor?
Well, it looks like it's supporting 1, 2, and 4 gigabytes of RAM, and it's got the low power, the LPDDR3 on it. So that should be plenty fast for a single board computer. That's for sure.
So where would you go and say the power, you know, power wise, it would be, you know, especially with the GPU, the embedded GPU that's in it, you know, what do you think you could do with it?
I mean, you could definitely, you know, load up RetroPie more than likely with a Linux distro and definitely RetroArch on a Linux or Windows distro.
Well, Badocera has an X86 build, so you can do that.
There you go. It's definitely got some of the, not as many limitations as the Pi does, that's for sure, with the 86 architecture. That really relies on the open source community really, really hard, you know? And if you're running standard Windows and Linux, not just stuff that's cut down to fit the board, then you can probably go a little bit further, in my opinion.
I mean, like I said, I'd want to know if I can use it as a Plex media server and actually transcode on it, but... The only ARM-based version of a Plex server that can actually transcode, to my knowledge, is still the one that's on the NVIDIA Shield TV, which uses the Shield's GPU for the transcoding.
Yeah.
Right, which
but
is
that, that price point is also much higher, too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think you're talking about $150 now for the 2019 Pro.
Okay.
Wait, $150? I'm pretty sure it's still $199.
Is it?
Oh, is it? No, I thought it was $150 if you want to get the smaller sized one, the little circular.
Yeah.
Is it the same chipset?
No, it's a different chipset.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I know there's a Tegra, what, X1?
Yeah, that's kind of been the default since 2015.
Okay. Yeah, but the new process on it's running like 25% more efficient power. I think that's all they did. They made it smaller as well, too.
Well, also, they added in the special features for the new Pro where they allow you to go and do that AI upscaling. That's
AI
really cool.
Upscaling. That's right.
That stuff's great.
It's neat.
My gosh.
I mean, it's a selling point. That's the one thing I'm kind of interested in. But absolutely. I mean, I have the 2015 build, so there's no reason for me to upgrade.
Yeah, I think I got the 2017 Pro and the 2019 Pro. And you're right, the mid-tier one, the one that's 150, is there's some other name for it, the smaller sized one.
I think it's just called the Shield TV. The Pro is the one that's like we've all known for, you know, the past 5 years.
The little tablet looking thing instead of the tube.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the description I was waiting for. Yes.
Yeah. I like I said, I got mine back when they first launched in 2015. And it is still worth it because they're still updating it. You know, I've never seen an official Android update go for 4 different Android versions.
Well, yeah, and they just added Samba 3 in finally a few weeks ago. So now when we're transferring data and stuff like that to whatever attached hard drives we have, it's not brutally slow anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Because you can mount your network drives to it.
Yep.
Not something I'd normally do on my end with this because it does have a little bit of a pain in the ass with if it gets disconnected, reconnecting, it's kind of a little bit of a irritation.
I had some irritations with accessing it from Windows, accessing the drive through the Shield. It just seemed to take too long because they auto-generate the password on it, you know? And it seemed like I had to restart both devices almost simultaneously to get it to connect so I could transfer some media files.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, I'm not using it for the Plex media server anymore. What I have like an Odroid HC2, which is an XU4 without the GPU. That's the HC stands for home cloud. And it basically what it is it's a little stripped down Odroid XU4 without the GPU on top of a gigantic heat sink that actually is what encloses the drive.
Well, I almost went with a Synology NAS rack setup because I have a rack set up in my house for processing stuff for CAD and rendering. And I almost went with the Synology NAS rack. And I'm a pathological researcher when I'm actually pulling the trigger on technology. And then my darling wife, who doesn't know much about what I do and how weird I get about this stuff, she just looked over at me and she goes, "Why don't you just get one of those Shield things? It'll do that, right?" And I said, "No. You know, no," because I didn't know anything about it. And then I looked it up and then, yeah, she was right. So I just got that instead of spending $800 on a Synology NAS rack.
I mean, that's the way to go.
Wait, hold on. You're going to get a Synology NAS rack to do what? Transcoding.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why? Like, what were you going to transcode and like, what were you going to transcode it to?
Anime. You can run Plex on it.
I know the Shield TV, you can run Plex on it, yes. And some of the higher end Synology NASs you can too, but
that's what I'm talking about.
It would have been better just to build your own free NAS.
Well, I was just trying to kind of stick with what I already have since I have the whole rack set up in the server closet anyway. I was just going to add something in, you know, for ease sake. But the Shield ended up being obviously way more affordable.
It is. And really good for other stuff on there too. Coming back and talking about this a little bit later. Other bit of news, though, we have is we have a new OS release by our very own Munka, who partnered with a person that was on the Twister, who also helped with Twister OS, I believe, called Flame Munka Ubuntu, which is a 64-bit version of Ubuntu for ARM with solid-state drive boot.
And it looks like it's running Ubuntu 20.04.
Yep, and of course it's available on the subreddit and also on the website munka.sbcgaming.net.
I mean, it looks sleek, man. I mean, just from looking at it now, I you could have fooled me and said, "Hey, this is a new version of Windows," which it's just very sleek. I like the look of it, the UI, the bezels, the. Oh, man. Oh, and he's showing emulation on it. A destruction derby. Oh, this is great. Looks like he's got, what is this? Pi, RetroPie going on it. That's a
yeah. He usually puts in emulation station with RetroArch on it too, but it's mostly meant as a desktop OS, but it has that capability.
But yeah, he's showing off some media, PPSSPP.
Doing I was some saying that has Vulkan support with it works well with PPSSPP, but not great with Dolphin yet. He's working on it.
I mean, I just don't expect Dolphin to really run well on a Raspberry Pi 4B anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could barely get on the Shield TV to go and run. Not barely. It does run some stuff pretty well, but then others it will not.
Hmm.
Like, I did not get good performance on Super Mario Sunshine.
Sunshine seems to be one of those benchmarks for Dolphin that everybody's like, oh, I have to run that and Twilight Princess first, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, those are very high-profile games.
Oh, yeah. I totally get it.
It's the only Mario game I know of that has, like, you know, super full-on voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
Where Bowser talks like a normal person.
I mean, even the Shield has problems running Sunshine, as far as I remember.
Yeah, it does.
It's tough.
Which is ironic, considering that they just released, the Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which includes, mm-hmm. Super Mario Sunshine for the Switch, which, of course, runs the Tegra X1 processor.
But it's native.
Yeah, exactly.
And didn't they do something odd like that? The game itself isn't being emulated, but they did some audio trick where the audio tracks are being emulated.
It is kind of being emulated a little bit because they can't. One of the things that I found out about the GameCube controller is that it had pressure sensitive buttons to control. Mm-hmm. Sunshine used it to go and control how much the Mario's water talking weird. Jetpack thing, my Bob, Flood would talk. So it would, it would expel water. And you could go and based on how hard you were pressing the button or how soft, it would, change how much the pressure was on the water. So you can't do that still with the Switch.
Oh, so it's just full on now?
I think so. I don't know if they made any other changes. I don't own the game.
Yeah, me neither. $60 for three games that I could emulate. It's a hard sell.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some stuff that's upscaled on it, but it's also, I mean, you want to have it just as a collector's item.
Collector's item. It's hard for me. Maybe I'm just old now, but I mean, with newer games, it's hard for me to say I want to buy this as a collector's item, no matter what it is. Like, that's past for me. Like, collector's item for me is like the year 2010, maybe, and behind. Anything after that, I feel is just really.
But the thing is, you don't even have any video games, so.
That's true. I own no collector's items. Everything's ROMs. Everything's, emulation based. And
yes, yeah.
For me,
It entices me because it's limited release. But at the same time, like, I don't collect boxes for video games. I'm okay with my Game Boy games being in a little box without the manuals or the boxes. So it doesn't entice me.
Ugh.
It's not so much of that, but my thing is that it's a limited release, but I'd also like to go and have the physical version because I haven't really played any, actually, I don't think I've actually played, through full any of the three games, to be honest. I've played some Sunshine, I played some, Super Mario 64, did not play Galaxy, but I'd like to own them and I would go and buy the physical version. I would not buy the digital.
I would buy the digital, even though it's a pain.
Same here.
See, I'm not a collector so much. I just I'm more of a hoarder, so I don't throw stuff away.
Right.
I, I know I still have my Wii in a box in a crate in my storage area somewhere with all the games I bought for it and everything, but it's, you know, buried behind 12 years of other consoles, you know.
My thing though about owning the physical version is that I want to go and have it so that if something happens to my Switch or whatever, you know, or God forbid I get banned on there, I'm not out my games, you know, I can go play them on another system or loan them out or resell them.
Totally respect that. I totally understand that. But I'm traveling. I don't want to bring my little bitty cart that can easily get lost. So I like all my Switch games on my system. I have Mario and Zelda physical, but everything else is digital.
The only digital one I have is like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Because it came with the Switch as a download code?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I get it. I see both sides of this. For me, again, like I've said in the past, it's just if I start collecting one game, I'm gonna snowball. It's like a gambler, you know. I'm just going out to all the GameStops. I'm hitting up eBay. I'm hitting up Retro. I'm like, send me all your games. Send me all your. You got any of the Pokemon games? And it'll all just be a nightmare. Like all my life will fall apart. My, you know, Chthonics will leave me. Everything.
Yeah, I know if I got into it, it would just get chronic real quick, you know?
Yeah, it's like digital, it's clean. I don't have to look at clutter at the same time, so.
Yav, what do you think about that? What are you? Are you going to be a physical guy or a digital one?
It's a little bit of both. Digital is definitely incredibly convenient. I have come to the point where, like, shaving seconds from getting up and putting in a disc or what have you is worth it because I have so little video gaming time. But at the same time, having the physical stuff gives you that peace of mind that you'll be able to play it like forever and ever, because who knows what's going to happen with stores and will you be able to download it again in the future?
Exactly.
However, one thing about the Switch carts is I'm a little bit scared now that they're going to get lost by my kids, because like the other day, my daughter took out Skyrim and just left it on the floor and we couldn't find it. And we have a dog and it's like, will the dog eat it? And we have a 2-year-old and it's like, will the 2-year-old eat it? Like,
probably. Well,
they won't though, because they coat them in Bitrex.
I've heard they're bitter and nasty, but
they put that. They put that stuff on them that if you put like a couple of drops in an Olympic sized pool, it changes the flavor of the whole pool.
Oh, really?
It's super bitter.
I mean, I never really drank pool water before.
I think we should all just test this out and like lick a cart or lick a cart. MC. Yeah.
Are we doing this?
Let's see how long we can keep it. This is great. We should just.
I don't know if I want to go and grab it.
How long can we keep it in our mouth? Like, this is, we have to do this.
No.
It's nasty. I tried it out when it first came out. Yeah.
Well, you actually tried it.
One of the guys on Kotaku like made a video about it, and his reaction was, it looked over the top to me, but I put my tongue on it. It was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things could be said about that.
I mean, you know, this is just, you know, all right, question. Have you guys, this is getting off topic, but have you guys ever seen this guy who eats, who does professional eating or whatever? His name is like, he goes by the alias the LA Beast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
LA Beast here.
Have a nice day. Oh, but I just remember like two things from him. One was the Sprite, you know, actually a couple of things. One was the Sprite and bananas.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And the other one was like where he ate, you know, the infamous half a bag of like, you know, 5-pound bag or 10-pound bag of the Haribo sugar-free gummy bears.
Yeah, and about had to go to the hospital.
Oh God,
that is a full body cleanse.
Yeah, the one where he ate a whole cactus was that one got to me, because that one was just rough. Like he didn't take the spines off or anything. He just ate a whole cactus.
How big was a cactus? I don't think I saw.
I mean, it wasn't a huge cactus, but it was like, I don't know, maybe most the size of a water bottle.
Yeah, but like, you know, still the spines are going to go and cut through your mouth.
They're going to be super tiny and needle-like.
It sounds like something that needs to be on Netflix.
No, dude, because like there's one like where he
barfs a lot.
Yeah, did he take like Epicac and like, you know, took Epicac and just threw up all over his dad's car?
Yeah. Well, he does other stuff too. Like he gave himself an MP tube and then put a motor on a half gallon of ketchup and mustard or something. And like flowed ketchup and mustard into his stomach while he was wolfing hot dogs.
Oh, that's gross. Oh,
fucking horrendous.
You know, speaking of Netflix, you know, I heard on this new Monkubuntu we were talking about. So you actually have to set up Docker and set up Chromium and Docker to access Netflix in it, but you can.
Really?
So apparently. I'm just reading the release notes here.
I'm so glad that they finally made solid Docker UIs now.
Docker is just sexy.
Yeah, Docker's nice, but you know, interacting with it's not fun. I use Portainer personally.
Really? I've not heard of that.
Portainer is actually Docker. Actually, Portainer is not just a Docker UI. It's actually a Docker container itself.
Really?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So
cool.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Open Media Vault.
Mm-mm.
So Open Media Vault is a free, you can run it on a Linux machine, but it's a NAS setup, and Open Media Vault on there allows you to go and that's actually what I'm running on that Odroid HC2. I have that's my NAS. And you can go and set up Docker with the with Open Media Vault, and then also set up Portainer, which is a Docker UI, you know, GUI for Docker, but it's also its own Docker container.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean Docker's fantastic. I run that on my NAS, which is I think a TerraMaster is what I'm using. So it's running the TNAS software.
Isn't the TerraMaster the ones that are like x86 based?
Yes, yeah, it is. It's an Intel, I think it's an Intel Celeron J something.
Yeah,
it's like 1.5 gigahertz. It's pretty slow, and it can transcode, by the way, for Plex, but it's very slow. I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't transcode either because my Shield TV, you know, can pretty much play any of the main files.
Right. I mean, if you got a Shield, that's the way to go. But I still use it just for NAS storage, and it's really good for running Docker and like running my Calibri library for ebooks. It can hold a crap ton of ebooks.
Yeah.
And then ebooks also,
you know, lots of other little Docker containers for different things, acquiring movies legally and things like that.
So. You know, really nice one to have though, if you want a Docker system. You know, a Docker container that does a lot of management with said ways of acquiring movies. You can go and look into what is it? Hang on, guys, I'm going to think of it.
Sonar,
radar,
and radar, and LiDAR.
No, not that. No, it's a front end that kind of allows you to go and kind of easily add those into one web page. It's more Hydra? Of a website. No, it's I'm gonna think of it later too, but
just edit it in afterwards.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Throw it in post.
Keep this all in.
But you know, I have that set up there, which is pretty organizer. There it is, organizer.
Okay,
organizer. Huh.
Yeah,
is that any different than Orginizer? The orgy organizer?
Yeah, it's a little bit different in that it's not for orgies.
They're both fun though.
Yeah. I didn't mean like weird, you know, sexual orgies. I meant like .org addresses, like parties, people celebrating .org website addresses.
Yeah, no. No, organizer comes it has a Z in it too.
Hey, what's your favorite orgy site? No, dude, org. I mean, don't you call it org?
I got it. If we're on YouTube, we'd already be demonetized. Well, we would have been demonetized back on episode 2 anyways.
I got a lot of commie sites that I like. No, comms. Comms, you know.
Well, I've been deep in the Docker life this week, compiling ROMs and things like that, compiling kernels. And I originally went through and set up the Linux shell and Windows and everything like that, got Docker loaded and got all the way to the end, started building the kernel, all that kind of stuff. And then it threw me an error that I was working on a file system that what was the exact wording? Where it doesn't differentiate between upper and lower case.
What?
Is some kind of...
Robot talk?
Yes. Well,
'cause, case sensitive. I was working on a case insensitive file system, so I had ended up having to go to an Ubuntu VM to compile everything.
Oh, God.
So, wait, hang on. So your OS couldn't handle...
Well, with having everything running off of the NTFS drive, right? It's case insensitive, so case doesn't matter, you know? And then in the actual files for compiling kernels and all that kind of stuff, they can have the same file names, right? But because it is case sensitive, if you have something called like commmark and you have two files and one has a capital C, they're two different files in Linux. But in Windows, they're the same file, you know?
And also, just to answer your question, my favorite orgy site is retroachievements.orgy.
Well, yeah.
So
retroachievements is actually great, though. And that's like one of the best features, especially now that, you know, RetroArch is on the 1.84 and higher versions, that instead of just having a little bit of text when you get the achievement, it actually shows up the image.
Yes, it does.
Hardcore mode only.
Yeah, some of those are really interesting, for some achievements. Like, there's a Sonic 3 and Knuckles achievement where you have to do the special stage moving backwards.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, you know, the Get Blue Spheres.
Right.
So, you have to do the, you have to do it all backwards. So, essentially, it's a riff on Michael Jackson. So, you're doing Moonwalk.
Easy money.
Moonwalk for achievements. Go.
That's amazing. He did compose for the game.
Okay, I need to play this game.
He's obsessed with Sega. He's obsessed with Sonic and Space Channel 5, I think.
I don't think I've ever played Space Channel 5, but, Michael Jackson was a huge fan of Sonic, yes.
And also recording songs about Moonface for McDonald's. Which
just for you, buddy.
No, I don't like moons. I don't like moons with faces. Anyone who knows me knows I can't look at
them. Are you talking about the Mac Tonight commercials?
God, yes, I am. And that's horrible.
Yeah, I don't.
That's my whole movement, bro. Come on.
No, for me, for like singing claymation or freaky, creatures with sunglasses. Wasn't the Mac Tonight moon. It was the California Raisins. Those were my nightmare. Yeah,
the Raisins. The Raisins freaked me out. That was weird.
Yeah, the Raisins are weird. And so is Domino's Pizza.
Yep, the Noid.
The Noid.
The Noid. Avoid the Noid.
They had a video game, right? Noid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 7-Up had a video game.
Yeah.
That one.
Cool Spot, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. that was actually exactly. Pretty good.
Yeah, because Dave Perry.
I was actually, speaking of, corporate video games, I actually just replayed Mick Kids on the NES last week.
I'm so sorry.
Let's talk about Mick Kids.
What's that?
Great. It's a great game.
It's a solid platformer. It's not a fantastic game. There's no story or anything, Nothing
major. But are there retro achievements to be had, to be earned, to be hunted?
If any NES games deserves it, it's that one for how ridiculous it can be.
I mean, we got, we already got it in Barbie Explorer, so let's look this up.
I'm sure we have it in Mick Kids.
If you guys give me a second, I'll verify.
Currently verifying. Did I spell this right? Mick Space Kids? Come on.
It's like m.c.kids, I think.
Right, m.c. Oh, yeah. Mick Kids, NES, yes, it does. We got achievements.
Well, there was a secret world in it and everything, so.
I don't know. You know what? That just reminded me on there. Do you guys remember that? It's from like the same animation studio that worked on Rugrats, Klasky, Cuspo, I think, you know, because he had that same style, you know, as like Rugrats and Wild Thornberries and all that. You know, they had that very distinct style. They did some McDonald's direct-to-video cartoons. Do you remember those?
No, but that sounds horrifying.
It actually wasn't as bad as you'd want to think.
Okay, that's fair.
I just remember like I also remember when I was a kid, they had the Burger King kids meal thing or whatever that I had a video cassette with like an episode or two of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they had that intro to the BK Kids Club where you had like some kid who's supposed to be like totally extreme with his like sunglasses and blonde hair and all that, and he's supposed to be super cool, and he's like with a bunch of nerd kids and some kid in a wheelchair, you know, you know, so there was like the, you know, they were all multicultural. So, you know, it was like a whole, you know, I don't know, it was pretty stupid, but, you know, it was Ninja Turtles though. So, I mean,
yeah,
I mean, that's awesome.
So it was awesome to us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be by default.
And Ninja Turtles, I don't know, but I still love the Ninja Turtle arcade games.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Definitely. I just wanted to bring to light that looking at McKids a little bit deeper here. There's an achievement called "I'm calling PETA, kill 25 enemies." That's a fantastic achievement. You can earn it early in the game. It's won by about 90% of people who play it. So that's Thori might be part of that 90%.
I'm sure. I've played that game quite a bit since I was a kid.
Yeah, but have you played it with retro achievements?
No, I have not.
You got to do
it. You though.
Got to do it. You got to throw it on your RP2. I mean, any device that you play on.
I got to go and see someone who actually beat Battletoads on hardcore mode.
I mean, that's the great thing about these games that we're so obsessed with, man. I go back and I look at like some of the cartoons, you know, that I watched when I was a kid, and like this is terrible. This is unwatchable. Yeah. How did our parents deal with this, you know?
Super Mario World cartoon.
Yeah, they were all kind of crappy. Aww. But, you know, some cartoons, though, do hold up. Anything that was made by Disney during that time frame holds up.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, I remember going to the Blockbuster and getting a Rude Dog. You guys remember Rude Dog?
What?
Any chance? Is it this thing? I'm an 80s kid, of course. It was just a cartoon called Rude Dog and the Dweebs. All right.
Wow, this does sound kind of like shit.
Yeah, it's awful. It was one of those like Saturday morning things that may have gone straight to video. I don't know.
That reminds me of like watching the Gummy Bear Adventures or something.
That was a Disney one that actually didn't hold up well. I think there was like a live action Pooh, like where some guy in a Pooh, you know, it was Winnie the Pooh in like, you know, actual suits. So pretty much Winnie the Pooh is a furry. You know, what else?
Jeez.
Yeah, and there was it was also during that time frame where you had like the PSAs. You know, so like they had Pooh Bear telling me about grown-ups who wanted to touch me in strange places.
Oh my lord.
Oh father, I'm stuck with fluff.
You know that Pooh scarred some Mouseketeers, you know? He's just standing there, chain smoking on his break. Some kid wants to take a picture of him. Oh my break, kid. You know?
I think I will later show you the video though of like the Winnie Pooh one on there. Some of the cartoons though were kind of funny still. Like I said, you know, they're remaking Animaniacs.
Yeah, wow. I just saw that. Yeah. It actually looks pretty solid.
I saw them remake Mickey Mouse, and if it's like that, man, I'm gonna skip.
What do you mean remake Mickey Mouse? Are you talking about like the ones that's you know, like
the modern ones. There's a modern one. With a updated animation.
MICKEY.
Are you talking about that in Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, bro.
I don't know. I seen my son watch it on his phone before, and it looks new. I have never seen it before.
I think it's for that special stylized one where it almost looks like it's back from the past.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. That was actually not bad, you know, because they actually got some humor back in it. Mickey Mouse is not a funny guy. I'm sorry. You know, Mickey Mouse stopped being funny. You know, Mickey Mouse when he became the Everyman.
Right. I mean, Mickey Mouse sort of has this like weird clinical depression since his owner, since his creator passed away, or rather was frozen in carbonite those years ago. But man, they made some great games. They made some great Mickey Mouse games, like Mickey Mouse. Wow. What are those ones?
Castle of Illusion.
Castle of Illusion, which, by the way, is a great game to do retro achievements for. And it's awesome to launch it from different front ends, such as Reset Collection.
Nice.
Segue. You got it.
But you know what, though? Let's just be honest. Even though Mickey Mouse is the face of Disney, the real main character on there is probably Donald Duck. You know, he's had more cartoons and kind of more of a fleshed out lore, to be honest.
I mean, sure. In Kingdom Hearts, he really came into his own there, but
hey, hang on. There is a literal like, you need to go look this up on there. They have like a, you know, Donald Duck universe and all that too, based on all the backstories and all that from, you know, Duckburg and everything like that, where Donald, his nephews, you got Donald's family tree. Donald has a family tree.
How does he relate to DuckTales though?
What do you mean? How does he relate to DuckTales? There's nephews and
Uncle Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yep.
Does he ever show up in the show?
Briefly in the original, and he shows up a lot more now in the new one.
He's Big Pimpin. I get it.
DuckTales?
He's Big Pimpin.
DuckTales still holds up too, the original. The new one's actually not bad either, but the original also holds up.
Shout out to Darkwing Duck.
Is perfect.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Which also relates to DuckTales because it had Launchpad in both.
Yep.
Another great game you can launch from different front ends. Anyone you choose.
And you know what? You can actually get back to the DuckTales remastered now. They actually had delisted it for a while, but now you can get it back.
You can do it from RetroX, Dig. You can do it from Arc Browser. Or you can do it on my personal favorite.
Reset Collection.
There it is.
There it is.
Ah, there we go. See, that's where we're going to go next on there. And I know that Yav was waiting for that.
Yav.
Hav. Because you got to have it.
Yes. Hi. Reset Collection. Yeah, what do you guys want to know?
I would love to hear about it.
Yeah, tell us your story, man.
Give us your spiel.
Oh, man, the story. Reset Collection. It's a... yet another front end for your Android devices, and you can launch your ROMs from it with your favorite emulators. Supports RetroArch and many other emulators, and it will go through all of your ROMs and scrape the metadata and also download images and whatnot and put them into a nice, pretty sleek looking UI. And I think what I was really trying to go for when I set this up, when I first started, you know, coding this and designing it and everything like that, was just ease. I wanted it to be kind of out of the box easy for just anybody to start up, and it kind of will be, I wanted it to be intuitive and kind of not hold your hand, but yeah, pretty much hold your hand. I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. Who says like getting into... I don't know why, but I feel like people that are enthusiasts in retro gaming and just tinkering around, like, feel like that this has to be complicated. And I don't think it needs to be complicated. I think it can be, it should be, there's room out there to make it pretty simple and just work. So that's where I was trying to go with Reset Collection.
So can we load up our ROMs in, you know, pretty much any folder, or do we need to have it structured or for scanning, for scraping?
Not structured. It just needs to be in its own folder, and then it will also look at subfolders of that folder. It's not quite there. Like, I'm iterating. I'm making it better. I'm taking suggestions and all that good stuff. You know, one day I would love to just have a button that says I'm going to search for ROMs and put it where they should go. But for now, you do have to click on one button that says, like, you know, I want to add a new system. And then you just navigate to the folder where all those ROMs are.
Great.
And after that, there's one more button that says, like, hey, start scraping data and put together the the collection of games for the system.
So I want to ask, where do you scrape from? Like, what do you use for scraping, and where do they scrape from?
I use Lunchbox. So they have a digital DB, a database of information for games, and the developer puts it out as a few big XML files. So I use that.
And where are you on theming?
Theming right now, there's one theme. It's just kind of, I call it Darkflix because I was trying to go for a dark Netflix look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planning on adding another theme. As far as being able to give users the ability to kind of create their own themes or mess with it, I don't know when I'm going to get there. One of the things that I realized is that there's so many videos out there of somebody setting up a theme in, let's say, Dig, and they set it up and it looks really cool. And then, in the comments, you see a lot of other users asking, how do you do this, and asking a lot of questions. And it seems to be kind of complicated in order to make those themes work for you. I don't want that to be the experience that a Reset Collection user has. I want them to just kind of have something that looks sleek and you can do it pretty easily without having to mess around with your own theme or try to download a theme or something like that. So
you really wanted to hold the user's hand.
I want the user to feel like this experience is delightful and just there aren't any hiccups in the way. But I think with any software, there are going to be some issues here and there. So not everybody's having 100% perfect experiences with Reset Collection, but I'm listening to people and trying to fix whatever individual issues that people are having.
Are there any compatibility issues as far as Android version or anything like that people should know about?
Not necessarily the version. It's mostly how powerful your device is. If you have a device that's not too powerful and you have full ROM sets, it's going to slow down a bit, or even quite a bit. I've heard some people say that when they try to add and scrape new ROMs, it takes 10 minutes or something. And I definitely don't want that to be anybody's experience. So I am working on some performance optimizations so that that doesn't happen.
I know you really hit it up with popularity, though, once ETA Prime earlier this year released a video talking about your system.
Yeah, that was really awesome. I released it January this year, and it was really slow to get adoption of it. The adoption rate of it was slow. I was just trying my best to get the word out there, on subreddits and even Facebook groups. As much as I loathe getting onto Facebook, I did it to see if I can get the word out there.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I went to some YouTube YouTubers, their channels, found their emails, sent them some messages. I sent ETA Prime a message. I didn't hear back from him for a while. At some point, I did hear something from him. I remember I left a comment on one of his videos, and he just was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you're leaving a comment. I'm about to make a video of your app." So when I heard that, I was like, "Damn, that is awesome!"
I bet you saw a whole lot of uptick in downloads after that, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool because even before ETA Prime put that video out there, I had a good handful of pretty devoted users that were kind of working with me and giving a lot of suggestions. And then I heard later that those users were going to ETA Prime and in his videos of other front ends and saying "Hey, will you, review this new front end Reset Collection?" So that was really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. And then when the ETA Prime video came out, that day has been the most sales I've ever had for this app. And like immediately following the most, like the number of questions I'm getting from everywhere and people asking like, hey, can you help me with this? Or does your, you know, does your front end do this or, and all that sort of stuff that started to come in. So I spent like, after that, like for a whole month, I was just like answering questions and, and not really coding at all.
Yeah, you probably just make up an FAQ then, just like, you know, if you're asking me this question, yes, no, yes, maybe, I don't know, yeah. Working on it.
I really should do that, but I haven't. What I do have is like a tutorial video that's pretty thorough, but not everybody finds that video or I'm kind of curious like how people get to the app and like what their experience with it is and, you know, do they try to search for more information on it or what have you.
Do you mind if I step in and just give you my experience as a user?
Yeah.
So actually, you know, I actually found Reset Collection last year. You had posted something on Reddit saying, hey, I'm a new front end developer. I'm developing this app. And you called it something different back then. Like it was called, what was your prototype name for it?
Oh, I might've just been calling it Rico for short.
Rico. Yes. It was called Rico. And I sort of followed progress and I think I wrote something there to say, hey, I'm going to check back on this. Next thing I know, I see ETA Prime's video. I start to hear the Reset name popping up in discussion all over different discords. And I finally tried it out after getting my Retroid. And the Wi-Fi in there is slow, so I didn't finish setup. But I loaded it up in my GPD, which has 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, and man, that scraping going to Launchbox, like you said, like that was blazing fast. I can just add on all my ROMs within minutes. I love how it shows a YouTube video. Like after 1 or 2 seconds, it'll go to YouTube and pop a video on the screen without ever leaving the UI. Is amazing. I found the experience very, very slick. And when I was setting it up, I actually did find your video on YouTube. I just looked up like, you know, Reset Collection setup. Your video came up of you talking and I'm like, oh, the developer actually made his own video. And that was pretty cool. So I've just been following along and I'm really enjoying what I've experienced so far. So it's been great getting to talk to you as well, because you're very invested in the community and you're out there. You know, a lot of developers will hide behind the scenes, but you're like out front and very personable. So I just appreciate you as a developer. Awesome. Wrap this up. I just wanted to read. Can I read just a couple of reviews from your Google Play Store?
Yeah, sure.
So there's a couple of reviews.
Put some 1 stars in there too, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to start out with this guy, Ryan Mercado, left this review. He rated it 5 stars, but he said, you know, awful. Developed by Hav, more like developed by Java, because this is nothing but garbage collection. You know, it's a slick, simple interface, easy, quick setup, video previews dynamically streamed, saving you time and storage space. Yep, this is a miserable app, and it has all of that. It's as simple as this. Reset will make your games, your game collection feel timely and cohesive. Stay away. So I really want to just... Yes. Is it awful? Of course. Will it get better? Probably not. But like, I believe in you as the developer. You know, another review here by Stubborn Pixel, 5-star review. Mm-hmm. You know, finding yourself stuck in a rut with your run-of-the-mill front end. Can't stand crazy slow box art scraping. Tired of an overly complicated setup process. Why not push the reset button? Fast, beautiful, nice. Simple. I dig it, winky face. Take that, dig.
You know, I wanted to get Reset Collection first off, the first front end I wanted. And when I couldn't get it, Hav hooked me up. I donated some coffee and he hooked me up. While I was waiting, it gave me facts about the Super Nintendo. Who does that?
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The setup was easy. And when I go into Super Nintendo and pick my game, man, it looks good. It'd be something I'd want to show my wife, like, hey, check this out. This is what these games look like. And this is how they play. It shows a little preview window for a game that you might be interested in. And even if it's a Japanese like exclusive, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's neat, man. So just thanks for making it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I definitely wanted to do things that just kind of were a nice surprise and delightful. So like those fun facts, that's where I'm trying to go with a lot of how I develop just in general, even like, you know, for my day job, like I try to just make sure that the experience for the user is as best as it can be.
I mean, and I feel delighted. So
nice.
And I wish more people developed that way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go and add in something now, hopefully this time. I actually own it for the Shield TV. And one of the questions I actually wanted to know is what system do you see is used the most with Reset Collection?
I really don't know. I do want to throw in some analytics and stuff like that. Like, you know, for future ideas, I'd love to be able to do like Game of the Month or something like that. Like who's played what game has been played the most. So I don't know right now which system is launched the most. I just haven't gotten around to like adding those kinds of analytics.
Yeah, and sorry, Stubborn. Sorry, Thor on there. I just wanted to go and just add in my little two bits on there.
Oh, no, dude. Yeah,
no,
you're good.
No, but in this case, though, what Android device do you see this installed on the most?
Oh, my bad. I could get back to you on that. That's another thing that like I haven't gone into the details of that. Google gives you like a pretty solid developer console and a lot of that information and analytics, and there's a lot of really good stuff there, and it also helps with like working on your like PR sort of stuff, or like, you know, getting knowing like and also like knowing like who's coming to your Google Play site and like where they're coming from and just all that sort of stuff. Like there's a lot of good information like that, but I haven't, it's a matter of time. Like there's so much that I can do as a developer and as the I don't know, my own little, I'm also the PM, like the project manager and all that sort of stuff. There's so much that I could be doing to make this a lot more successful, popular, better. But I'm just, it's just me. And I have a really close friend that does like the design work. So I haven't gotten to that information yet to find out like what device it's installing on. From emails, it seems like there are a lot of Samsung phones. People are downloading on their Samsung phones. As far as Android TV and those sorts of devices, definitely the Shield TV. There are a lot of people getting it for the Shield TV.
I was curious if you saw it more on Android TV for the Shield TV devices versus, you know, other, you know, like tablets or phones, if you saw it more on the Shield TV versus others.
Definitely phones. And I think, you know, if you think about your average user, if you just take like a chunk of users, the majority of them probably have like a relatively inexpensive phone that they just want to play some games on.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I don't think everybody even knows that there's something out there called a Shield TV or that there is Android TV. That's a little bit more, I wouldn't say it's super niche, but like
they will soon enough. I mean,
yeah,
they launched the Chromecast with Google TV, which is nothing but, you know, a different skinned, Android TV interface.
Yeah, but even that, I think if you just go out to your mall and start asking people walking around with a phone, you know, an Android phone, hey, what other Android devices are out there? Do you know that there's a Chromecast and it runs Android TV and you can like install the Android apps that you have on your phone onto the Android TV? They'll probably be like, I did not know that.
Well,
you
know, I mean, it is brand phone. New. That new Chromecast on there. But I mean, if you wanted to ask what the best Android TV device is, it's still the Shield TV, you know.
I would say absolutely, yeah. I did get a Chromecast TV. I'm planning on Chromecast Android TV, whatever they call it, Chromecast with Android TV.
Google TV is what they call it.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Sabrina. I got a Sabrina.
There you go. Yeah, the code name. Actually, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got it as Sabrina because there was like a little trick that you can get on Walmart where you get to the Sabrina like listing and you can get it before they even announced it at the...
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
Yeah, so I got it like a day before it was officially released. It was delivered. And I'm planning on doing some testing on it. Right now, it's just the master bedroom TV device.
I mean, I saw that it actually had pretty good emulation capabilities. Supposedly, it could do full-speed Dreamcast.
Yeah, ETA Prime has an emulation video up for Chromecast with Google TV. So,
I mean,
it looks pretty good.
Check that out. That sounds crazy.
It definitely did, like, everything PS1. I think it was able to do Crazy Taxi.
What's the price point on it?
$50.
Oh, not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. It has a remote as well. And you can connect a, you know, like a USB-C adapter hub sort of thing and put, a USB drive on it. So expand the disk space and play all your ROMs.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of Android TV devices around that price point, like the Mi Box S, the TiVo Stream thing that they have. What else is there? I know there's another one on there. Crap, what was it? It's another one that's kind of based around like a specific streaming service mostly. But I know there's a couple around that same price point.
Yeah, I have a Mi Box to test with, and I haven't tested it yet. Because I know that other people are using these devices. If something comes out, the more popular it is, and especially if I find that something, there's a problem with it, I want to get my hands on that device and try to fix the issue.
Do you still test with, do you have a Shield TV to test with?
Yes, I do. That's like my go-to test devices are the Shield TV, I think 2017 version. And I've got a Pixel 1, a Nexus 5. I test on a GPDX, what are they called? XDs Plus?
XD Plus?
Yeah, I test on that.
That's what I do too. I love that device.
And some tablets, like slower Lenovo tablet. A Samsung tablet. So I tried to make sure everything, it runs nicely on everything. The only thing that I didn't do is pretend I was a power user setting up like full ROM set. So kind of dropped the ball in there. I just kind of set it up the way that I like to play, like, you know, through my history of video gaming, just like I'm kind of growing up with it all over again. So I don't go and put games on there that like I never actually physically owned and played myself, because I guess I don't really like, I was lucky enough to somehow, I don't know how this, I was able to get away with this, but I was able to pretty much get like whatever system and game I wanted as I grew up. I think it's because that's all I asked for, nothing else. So I've got a good library of games that, like, you know, keeps me really happy just going back and playing again, and it looks good when I set up a front end with all the games that, you know, I played growing up.
Rich parents.
Yeah, not really, but somehow I think it was like family. I had like a lot of family, and I got a job like as soon as I could and just kind of bought whatever I wanted with that job.
Well, I feel like that's what like a lot of this is about, you know. I'm in my mid-30s, and being able to go back and play, you know, FF7 or ActRaiser or whatever, and relive some of those moments, and then and reappreciate them as an adult. And if we have a slick interface with which to do it in, that we don't have to mess with, that you know, comes straight out of the box for, you know, people like me who don't want to mess with it, that's fantastic. And I appreciate developers like you who really take their time and put themselves into projects like this, man. That's really awesome.
Agreed.
Thanks.
Agreed, because, you know, the last thing I want to do is, you know, fuck around with RetroArch. RetroArch is not a friendly, you know, yes, it's great. It's got all these cores. It's got all the emulators in one spot on there. But navigating through RetroArch sucks so much.
The worst.
Just use XMB. What's up?
It still sucks. I still hate it. You know, that's why I don't use Laka. You know, because that's not why I don't use Laka. That's why RetroPie. That's why Badocera. That's why, you know, Recalbox and all them, the ones that use Emulation Station are so popular. Because no one wants to go and use RetroArch's GUI.
It's yeah, not fun. I never used RetroArch's like that. I just found the standalone emulators and just played the games that I wanted to. And the first time that I messed with anything, you know, resembling a front end was RetroPie, I guess. And whatever comes on RetroPie, Emulation Station.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, I know that you can get really, really nice looking UI by messing around with the themes in Emulation Station, but I never went that deep with it. I just bought a Raspberry Pi, found RetroPie, put it on the on that Raspberry Pi. I think, yeah, you know what it was? It was the NES Classic came out, and it was hard to get. And I saw online somebody made like an NES Classic case.
Retro flag? Or,
no, it was they actually made out of Lego. And I was like, that's cool. Like, I can maybe I can like do this with my son, and like we can buy the Lego pieces and make this. So that's what I did. And once I was done putting everything together, I think I played a couple of games and like put it in my drawer and then never played with it again. And then on my phone, I don't know how I came about it, but I found an Arc browser and decided to purchase that and set up games on my phone that way. And I don't know, like a couple of months after playing Arc browser, especially on the phone, it doesn't work with touch. Like you have to have a gamepad connected. Otherwise the UI does some wonky stuff. I just thought to myself, I should try to make one of these, you know, like, you know, I can make it, you know, nothing wrong with having a couple of different front ends out there. And just see if I could make something that I would like, you know, really enjoy I would really enjoy using myself. So, yeah, I haven't even been using front ends for that long. Just, I would say a few years.
And so I got a couple of questions for you then. So what are the next major features you're going to add into Reset Collection? I mean, something that could be really cool is to display your retro achievement progress on your games.
Yeah, the first thing I need to do is get caught up in retro achievements because I've never done anything with retro achievements. I don't know anything about retro achievements. I hear people talk about it. I don't know how best to describe like like I'm very like focused, I guess, on what I want to get out of my retro gaming. That I don't really, I never really have been exposed to like the breadth of what is available out there. So like, you know, for example, retro achievements, I don't know what that is.
Well, I mean, it's very nice on there. If you open up RetroArch, especially the newer stuff on there, essentially what it is you sign up for retroachievements.org. It's free. You get to go and play your games. And if you're using mostly RetroArch cores, they will go and once you meet the requirements for that achievement, you'll get an unlock along with a little image and, you know, and it saves on your profile on retroachievements.org as well as, you know, in RetroArch. But yeah. I know they have like their database and such like that. So, you know, maybe if you could work with them and see if you can get it so that, you know, we could display our current achievements, you know, once we put in our logins. We could see our achievements based on the games in Reset Collection.
Yeah, I really need to, you know, show off to Stubborn how much farther I've gotten in the Barbie games than he has. So,
exactly.
Hardcore mode.
So I think I actually have like a ticket out there because this has been brought up before. I have a lot of things that people bring up to me, and I just kind of create a ticket for it using GitHub. And I think I already have a ticker that just says like look into retro achievement. So
I drop
I have a lot. If I could snap my fingers and everything that I want to add to reach that collection could be added right now, like it would the app would look way different. So
like it would look sweet if it had like a randomizer or something like that.
I think yeah.
Favorites.
That would be pretty awesome. I have and even with like the randomizer. Oh, favorites. Favorites is there.
Favorites is there.
Yes. I don't know if somebody said
I haven't
favorites.
Gotten that deep in, I guess.
What about clouds? Yeah. What about cloud saving?
That's something I'm planning on looking into. Like right off the top of my head, I don't know how I would kinda implement that because I think most
I guess you could use it, you could do it as an add-on so you could have people pay to go and host, you know, to use it with a cloud savings set system like that. There's a couple of what is it, Stubborn? Who's the one that has the cloud saving?
RetroX.
RetroX, yeah.
Yeah, RetroX.
I think RetroX is like it's a fork of RetroArch, right?
No, yeah. It's his own app, but he took RetroArch cores and then modified them a bit to all be more cohesive. And then he basically hosts the cloud saves on his servers. And it charges a fee to keep the servers going.
Okay. I would try to find some solution that wouldn't require like a server that you would have to pay for. But something
does,
yeah, something. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah, it's something that, because, yeah, I could have it so that you just sign into your Google account. I mean, everybody has a Google account that downloads this because it's an Android app. So I could have something like that. And that's something I'm planning on looking into for sure.
Well, that's exciting stuff, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the next big update that I'm working on is just making those memory and performance optimizations, and I'll see about adding a little randomizer button in there as well.
You gonna go make a version for the Retroid Pocket too?
Just got the chills.
Because of the Retroid Pocket 2 coming out and its popularity, and the fact that Reset Collection only works, you know, smoothly on there if you only have like 100 ROMs or something like that. I've heard like, you know, different numbers there. But because of that, like, yeah, that did kind of push me to work on these optimizations. So it's not going to be a specific version for the Retroid Pocket. It's just going to be a better version of Reset Collection that will run better on devices that aren't as powerful.
Well, I mean, the Retroid Pocket 2 also does not. I mean, I just got mine in thanks to Stubborn. We did a trade. So
cheers. I like my NVIDIA controllers.
Yeah, and I like my Retroid on there. Very good quality, very good seller. 10/10 would buy from again.
A++++.
But you know, but the one thing that the Retroid Pocket 2 does not have is a touch screen. So I didn't know if you'd kind of make a version on that was optimized more for one that doesn't have a touch screen.
Well, I mean, that's basically like a Shield TV. Like you're using a gamepad, so.
Yeah, it's just a lot less powerful.
Well, yeah. So it's just
as long as you can map PS3, you can use it on just about anything.
Yeah. Like to navigate on Reset Collection, you could use touch or gamepad. So that handles the whole, you know, missing a touch screen on a small device like the Retroid Pocket or Retroid. Yeah, the Retroid Pocket. Or any phone that you're using. Well, I guess most, if it's a phone, it's going to have a touchscreen.
Well, most likely.
Usually. But man, it's like married perfectly to the GPD XD Plus. Like that's, I can tell like you must have developed or tested with the GPD while making the app. It's just the UI, everything just is so slick and fast. It just knocks out of the water.
Yeah, thanks. What happened is that I was looking at some crash reports and I saw that there was this crash that kept happening over and over again on some device called the GPD And I was like, I don't know what that device is. And I looked into it and, you know, I didn't like that I was going to have to pay that much money just to fix this one crash, but I didn't want those people to have this experience. So I bought that device and fixed the issue. And it probably fixed it. Like the same issue might have happened on other devices. So really like it's worth it. You know, there are probably some devices that I'll buy and I'll fix an issue on that, and not enough people will buy it for that device that like really, you know, I come out, you know, making up for paying for that device, but I also don't want to leave those people having a bad experience with the app. So it's all worth it to me.
And, you know, I know it's been kind of getting on a little bit of here, a little bit of time here. So we're going to kind of wrap this up. But speaking of experience on there, we are actually going to go and be partnering up with Yav here for a little contest.
Ooh, tell us more.
Well, I think I will, Stubborn. I think I will. So for the next couple weeks on there, I think we're going to go and have about 2 weeks. 2 weeks sound good, guys?
Sounds good to me. 2 weeks.
Yeah, so for 2 weeks, we're going to go and have a contest going on where you can enter by subscribing to our Twitter account, the SBC Gaming Twitter account, and Yav's for Reset Collection. And retweeting, those are three ways you can go and get entries. And the prize will be a code for Reset Collection, which is normally $5, which is completely worth it. You know, I purchased mine, you know, quite a while back, but completely worth getting. But, you know, it's normally about $5, $4.99 specifically, and you can get one free.
Damn. Yes.
Yep.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah,
of course.
And that's for about 25 people, I believe, right?
I made 25 codes.
Ooh.
And so once this goes live, you'll be able to go and enter the contest, and best of luck to you.
So how does that work, Jimmy?
Well, they'll get entries if they subscribe to, you know, so they have like three ways to enter. They can get up to three entries of subscribing to our Twitter account, the SBC Gaming Twitter account, the Reset Collection Twitter account, yours, and retweeting the tweet. So that's three different ways to enter.
What tweet do you retweet?
We're probably going to have it retweet the initial tweet about the contest.
I see.
That I'll be making.
Cool. All right.
Affiliations, no breathe. I don't know. Drink my Marionberry hard cider. It's good.
I don't give a fly if I cut my arm bleeding.
Yes. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. This is my last reset.
This is my
would it be right if I retweet this shit tonight? Chances are Dynamite.
Yes.
Playing reset out of sight.
What is going on here?
That's a good note to end on, I feel like.
That definitely sounds like a song that would be created by somebody named Yav and not Hav. That sounds very hairband from Sweden.
It's very Sweden. Papa Roach-ish.
I mean, it could have been going to Kryptonite. Like, you know, if I go retweet this, then will you go and give me Reset Collection?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't have the same, you know, flow as Kryptonite. Which, sure. I'm upset. You know, I bought the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 because I love the original on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. The original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. And they don't have Kryptonite on there. I only have one Superman theme song instead of two.
Maybe one of your neighbors like has a copy of the MP3. Like, why don't you go like three doors down to your neighbor and ask if I'm already
three doors down.
Oh man, now I need to go play Superman 64 again.
Yes.
Or maybe the Goldfinger song Superman. Ooh. Listen to that.
Superman, go fly through these rings. I'm Lex Luthor. I'm just gonna fuck with you.
On a later episode, I really want to talk about the unreleased PlayStation prototype for Superman, which is equally as terrible, if not worse.
I mean, I would expect it to be, you know, Superman 64 is just basically like, you know, pretty much CBT, but in video game four.
I remember my friend actually bought that full price, and I went to his house to play it, and actually, I think he cried. I remember,
I would cry. Grade.
And he was very upset that he wasted all of his money, his chore money, to buy Superman 64. Like, he was visibly upset.
That's what you guys get for liking Superman.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember when there was a good Superman game.
There was a good Superman game?
I'm saying I don't remember if there ever was. Now, there's good Batman games. There's plenty of them.
Oh, yeah.
Game Boy, NES.
Yeah. I used to own the Batman Animated Series Game Boy game.
That's a good one.
But then I also played the shitty ones, too, like Batman Forever on Genesis. That one sucked dick.
Obviously, you didn't watch the movie.
I mean, Batman Forever was a really bad movie anyways, but Jim Carrey would have made a pretty good Joker, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Jim Carrey's he did a pretty good job as the Riddler.
Want him to kill himself too?
Oh no! Damn!
Whoa!
Oh, no!
No! Because Jack Nicholson played the Joker and he's still alive.
Yeah, but he's not technically. But like inside, he's just devoid of humanness.
Well, I mean, that's probably because he was, you know, saw Kate
the Shining.
No, not The Shining. It was Kathy Bates naked in About Schmidt.
So he's dead inside.
Yeah, I'd be dead inside too if I saw Kathy Bates naked.
Now, she seems like a good cuddler, though. Like, just a good old-fashioned cuddler.
I mean, that's why you go after the chesty broads, all right?
Wasn't she in, like, a movie that where she tried to kill someone?
Misery.
I mean,
Movie was it Misery?
Yeah. Misery. We got American Horror Story where she played the butcher. She kills a lot of people. She's a fantastic lady. Would I want to be with her for a lifetime, like a marriage, like a sex?
No.
I don't know. I don't know with her. I don't think a lifetime is going to be very long for you.
No. I'd be dead. She'd get annoyed with my antics in a weekend. And
I would have married Golden Girls era Betty White, though. That would have happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go, guys, who was like your number one girl or guy? I don't know. I don't judge.
What is that
show girl?
Like,
like who? Like my personal life or like a celebrity or?
Celebrity. We're going to go with celebrity.
Okay. Go celebrity. Like
Beetlejuice, Winona Ryder, man. All the way.
Oh, yeah.
I just bought that. I actually just bought that 2 weeks ago.
I'd have to say Lara Croft. So, you know,
I'm gonna go with Halle Berry, and I'll go one better. Halle Berry in Swordfish.
That's a good choice.
I'm gonna go with. This shows how old I am. I'm going to go. It's a tie between Ingrid Bergman and Maureen O'Hara when she was in The Quiet Man with John Wayne. That's some old school stuff. That's some antique stuff. That's not retro.
And then do you have gray hairs, man?
Do I have gray hair? Yeah, I have gray hair.
Yeah, me too. So what of it?
Oh.
Do you want to fight about it?
I'm jealous. I want to be a silver fox too.
You'll get there.
It's all fun and games till you get the silver in your happy trail, bro. Then it's just depressing.
Hey, you know what though? You know what? I'll take a full head of gray hair over not having all my hair.
True. Absolutely.
Yep.
Because you can dye hair. It's a lot harder to regrow it.
You can wear a toupee or something, but yeah. True. Yeah.
You can grow out your sides longer than the top.
That'd be dope.
Shave it down and grow a big blacksmith's beard. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some people could pull off the bald look, though. But I mean, you know, I figure once I'm having enough of receding hair, which I don't think is going to happen to me. But once you get enough receding hair, you just probably should just go all in on the bald.
You really should. Yeah. Don't go George Costanza style. Just definitely just go shave it all.
That is the Costanza. That's exactly what that is. Yeah. Or the Larry David.
Yes.
What about the Patrick Stewart?
Now that's just damn gentleman-like.
That was the 90s, you know?
Yeah. It was okay. So,
who went with Lara Croft?
I did. Not like Angelina Jolie. I mean like the digital character Lara Croft.
The polygons all the way.
With the triangular boobs?
Like PS1 Lara Croft?
But what about Barbie? Lord have mercy.
Oh man, I don't know.
How about we just go with Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman?
Pfeiffer? Yeah.
Respect.
Respect.
Yeah.
I mean, we all go with at least one. Away. I mean, to be fair, I've named two women that played Catwoman, but I mean, only one of them actually did it in a movie that wasn't dog shit. So.
Exactly.
I mean, even Halle Berry being in a skin tight leather suit on there is not going to save Catwoman.
No. Yeah, but there was the like.
I respect you, Jimmy.
Psycho BDSM crap with Michelle Pfeiffer, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean that's.
I mean, she lost her mind.
What's the problem?
Yeah,
there's no problem. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying like that was definitely a plus because that was such a different take from the 60s, you know, Catwoman, you know.
Yeah,
I mean Tim Burton was a twisted guy, man. Tim Burton, he was into some weird stuff.
May you know what though? Like because you mentioned Beetlejuice, when I watched it again, I immediately saw like it was in the scene where they're like in the, you know, where they walk through one of the doors and they show up in the desert and you have the, like this claymation snake and you just look at that snake and you go immediately like, yep, that's Tim Burton. You know, if you had seen one of his other famous ones,
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yep, Nightmare Before Christmas. It looks like it would fit right in there. You know, like that claymation looks like you ripped it right out of Nightmare Before Christmas. Even though Nightmare Before Christmas was released well after Beetlejuice. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a really good episode of this, like, cinema historian guy on Disney Plus, where he dives into some of the remaining artifacts from Nightmare Before Christmas. And like, you know, he has interviews with Elfman and all those guys. And the stuff that they did with that claymation was amazing, even back then, you know?
Yeah.
Really impressive stuff.
Yeah, it is.
They were dedicated.
You know, now, of course, you know, the Nightmare Before Christmas really wasn't a Disney movie. It had, beforehand, it was released under
Touchstone.
Yeah, it's retroactively been released under Disney now, but, you know. Actually, isn't Corpse Bride now also owned by Disney since that was on Fox?
So is Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I was just talking about Tim Burton stuff, you know. He had that other claymation one. Yeah, he had that other claymation series, which was
Corpse Frankenweenie? Was Frankenweenie?
Yeah, that was Disney. Yeah, that was Disney. That's also claymation, too. So,
ABC is owned by Disney.
Yep, so is ESPN.
Everything is owned by Disney.
The whole world.
It's getting that point. You know, we made the jokes in the 90s, but, you know, after Disney bought out Marvel, there you go.
You guys remember when Microsoft got split up? Remember that? When the government was like, nope, too powerful?
Yeah, too much. Too big.
Whatever. My favorite Disney princess is Princess Leia.
It's true.
Shit, is she considered that one? Twisted
the knife, dang dude, killing my childhood
here. Oh, I'm a bit biased for that name.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? At least the Mandalorian's a good series. I'll give him that.
Yeah, it is.
It's true.
Well, I think it's time we all wrap this up, guys. But happy to go and have you here, Hav.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
And thanks again for joining us, Thor. And Stubborn's been here and Retro from since episode 2.
Happy to be here.
Anytime.
Yo.
So with that, I'm Jimmy Russell's
Stubborn Pixel,
Retro
Thor,
Hav,
and we will see you back for the next episode next week. And don't forget,
peace,
and don't forget, we're going to go and have that contest going through for at least 2 weeks.
Reset collection.
Reset. Do it.
Someone's got to put a dick in a grave.
That's true.